is it?
Peter Lynam, are you there?
I am here, yes indeed.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Now, I got you a little bit off air then, and we're going to do a pretty much sort of a look at how the churches last dealt with a pandemic of sorts.
Yeah, so the pandemic I'm talking about is the 1918 flu pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called Spanish flu. Well, of course, it wasn't Spanish at all. It actually came from American military camps of troops that were about to be sent to the front, and they carried the new strain of influenza to the Western Front, and it spread from there and then was brought to the world, really, by the returning soldiers. Now, it's very interesting looking at its impact in New Zealand.
Right.
Because it's like a pre-run of what we're experiencing today, except that, I mean, they didn't have the levels of science, they didn't, and they were guessing their way as to what to do.
Right.
And
that's not too far off what we're doing, though.
Well, yes, you could argue it's very similar to what we're doing. And indeed, had they done what the measures that we've taken at the moment, you know, maybe the results of the flu would have been vastly, vastly different than what they were overall. Because the total flu epidemic was absolutely horrific overall. So in Auckland, altogether, I've got the figures here in a book by a friend of mine, Jeff Rice, who wrote about the Black November 1918.
Wow.
So there were 1,128 people died of the Spanish influenza in the month of November.
Wow, that's a lot considering.
That's a mighty lot of people.
Well, per capita population, that would be quite a percentage, wouldn't it?
Yes, so they worked out a rate per 1,000.
Okay.
And 7.6%. Wow. Of the European population, we don't have less clear statistics on Maori, but 7.6 of the Maori population died per 1,000.
Interesting.
So that's a staggeringly high figure, isn't it?
Yeah, considering this one's sitting around the point something.
Yeah, that's right. Precisely.
Is that due to just advances in modern medicine?
Yes, I think for sure that there's a much better understanding of how epidemics spread today, and all the discussion about face masks and the like. Well, that would have been very effective, if I understand correctly. I'm not a scientist, but with influenza,
right?
It really would have helped the spread, because the spread is, I think, more through spray.
Was that believed back then? When did that become like the norm?
Yeah, no. So
germs weren't even really
on the forefront. No. They do have a notion of germs.
Yeah.
From the age of Lister,
okay,
in the late 19th century, there is an awareness.
Okay.
There's in fact a very strong awareness that it's the impurities in the air that are causing the infection. But they were less prepared to take drastic measures to deal with it. So in Auckland, it began settling in September of 1918. It seems to have started and then gradually spread. By late October, there were a lot of reports coming in. But only finally on the 6th of November did the government address the matter and give powers to the authorities to stop crowds. And the big issue was the race meetings. Because you can imagine that, very high proportion, maybe 15-20% of the population were at the race meetings. Races were more popular than the All Blacks in those days.
Excuse me, Peter. I'll stop you there, mate. You can't be saying stuff like that on New Zealand radio stations. That's crazy.
The All Blacks are an invention of the 1924 All Blacks, as much as anything. You know, it goes back, certainly the 1905 All Blacks make a big difference.
It does. It doesn't matter, mate. I was just
yeah, joking. I know. But I mean, there's some nervous people out there. But whereas racing was enormously popular in New Zealand, and we've still left with all these race tracks in odd places, odd little villages and towns, all across Northland. There were probably race tracks in any place of any size.
Less people, though, eh? That's got to have helped, right? Kind of what we're trying to do right now. It feels like if you walk around out on the streets right now, which I don't recommend you do, it feels like 1918 something.
That's right. But you see, in 1918, all they could think of is, well, people were getting sick, and so lots of essential services were ceasing to be offered. The big one that they talked about was the telephone exchanges, because the telephone exchanges were completely manual in those days. There was all these telephonists, always females, of course, who sat in close contact with each other and connected. When people asked to be connected and to make a phone call to somebody, then they connected the two.
With an actual connection, like a modular synth, eh? It's quite
yeah,
rad.
Yeah, that's right.
It's
yeah,
rad looking at that footage.
So the first thing was the telephone exchanges became desperately short of people. And then lots of social events, it began to be very difficult to run social events because people were getting sick. And they did recognize they needed to clean surfaces. Mm. So there was a lot of cleaning of surfaces.
Okay.
But the solution for the churches, which I was intrigued by, although in the end the whole story is incredibly interesting, the solution for the churches, at least in Auckland, I haven't got as far as looking at how it worked in other places, was that the Catholic Church agreed to have that they would drop masses, and for 2 weeks there were no masses in November the 10th and November the 17th, I think it was. But most churches simply decided that they'd have short services, so say quarter of an hour, with windows wide open to allow the spread of air.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably... They're on their way to a good idea there.
Yeah, so they've got some sense that putting people together in an indoor space is risky.
Yeah.
And so the schools are suspended. That was the big step that was taken in 1918, is that the school year was not completed in 1918 because of the November epidemic. But for other public events and public bodies, there's still a huge amount of... There was no prescription of going out on the streets.
It's interesting how you're just calling it the November epidemic, whereas I feel Corona's going to rip us for about 6 months on the conservative side. But you're talking about the heavy death time, right?
Yes, this was the high point of, a bit like what we're seeing at the moment in Spain.
But it's interesting also how these old... these vintage epidemics were more like, oh, this is how many people died. But now, for some reason, when you're in this moment, you're concerned about the economy and life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always thinking about, this many people are going to die, and it's going to take this long for me to get back to my normal job. You know? Like, it's funny how we think about
but
that.
But then I think that the drastic steps of stopping all work, which nobody even remotely thought about doing that, well, perhaps some of the doctors did, but... because the medical idea was fresh air. But I think in the end, that would have had a really significant effect in November 1918. And probably if they'd done it back in October 1918 when the epidemic was getting underway, but then of course also in those days it wasn't planes, it was the troop ships coming back.
Mm.
And of course there was that terrible event where the troop ship, with knowing that it had sick people on board...
Are there any churches
stopped
at the moment?
..in Samoa, and the third of the population died.
I just had a text in, someone saying they saw a video of people coming out of church in the US of saying they were protected by the blood of Jesus. Are there, heaps of churches still just doing their thing and going, no, it's all right, Jesus got my back?
Certainly the Sunday before last, there was one in particular, a notorious... I mean, he is notorious in other ways anyway. Rodney Brown, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown set out to defy the demons, And he was going to show the demons that it wouldn't stick to the believing person. And he got himself arrested for that, which he's now, of course, enjoying.
Is Jesus' blood holy water, by the way? Is Jesus' blood...
The difficulty is that the holy water is all... The holy water's all been drained.
Yeah, that's...
So, you can't get much good from the holy water because it would carry the virus.
Goodness me.
Or was that not what you were asking?
I'm just like, they're protected by the blood of Jesus. That means they've sprayed themselves or something?
So the language often implies that there's some kind of...
It's like your own personal little rain cloud, and you cruise around, you got a little rain cloud raining the blood of Jesus on you at all times.
Yes. that in a way, it's to do with themes of pollution. So the idea is that if my pollution has been unpolluted by the blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. then I am free from all diseases, and that I've got a special protection, like you've been coated with a special plastic coating mm-hmm. that makes you impervious to any wetness in the future.
A vacuum, like a vacuum bag.
Yeah, that's right.
But Jesus' protection is like a vacuum bag. There's no real oxygen there, and you might die.
That's right. The difficulty is that in a vacuum pack, you tend to suffocate.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. And you're bound to go off sooner or later. Jesus.
Yes, I think so. And I think this is the huge problem, that if they're talking of being humans living on Earth, well, no human is immune from virus.
Mm. We are a virus.
We're all just ordinary old fleshly humans.
Zoom out and have a look at the Earth. The surface of the Earth, we look like a virus, bro.
Yes, that's right. Yes, there's that as well, yes.
And just before we wrap things up, Peter, Donald Trump and his comments about hoping to open churches for Easter, who is he trying to appease?
He just wants the few days off. That's all it is. He doesn't want the church to open, does he?
No, I think it was a bit more than that.
Easter's really important to him, guys.
Unfortunately, Donald Trump's advice comes from this wacky end of the religious right in America. Mm. These are the people that he listens to. And I think he had heard some voice, probably Paul F. White, who's a pretty influential voice for him, who had said that we can't sacrifice Easter. God is going to do a miracle by Easter time. Now, Donald Trump always responds to the last voice he heard. And so,
be that the one in his head.
That's right. So there's no policy... So the statement about Easter made a great statement for Twitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's already forgotten that he said it.
Just had a text in. Isn't the blood of Christ red wine and the bread is the body?
Well, yes.
So the blood of Christ is an essential item at the moment? You still get your red
so
wine.
This is where we've got some really freaky sort of concepts where the symbolism is tremendously mucked up. If you can't get the symbolism, if you're cut off from the symbols, has the religion lost its potency?
Is it often like Ribena, not even red wine, because you want to give the kids
depends
a little bit
on
of blood
your
as well?
In Catholic and Anglican churches, they're only allowed to use genuine fortified wine.
Mm. From a cask wine.
Well, I don't know about generally from a bottle.
And like Pinot?
It's generally port.
Okay,
it's generally port.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And in the Orthodox Church, to make matters worse, it's
delicious
dispensed,
Jesus.
It's dispensed with a long spoon.
Oh, man. Well, the spoon's going to be really long now, isn't it?
Well, the spoon is obviously absolutely...
2 meter long spoon.
Impossible. This debate has been going on in Greek Orthodox territories in Russia and
right.
And in Greece.
And then you've got to wash it
real good. Surely the miracle will keep us all safe.
Oh, the irony.
And others are saying, this has got to be stopped. And so lunacies take their forms depending on the culture of the place.
It's fascinating watching people sort of bend their wills to suit the situation.
And I think we should be grateful that, in fact, so far... our numbers are so low that very few of us know anybody who has been affected yet by it. Let us hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
But this does not stop incredible ideas. And imagine if we were in Italy, where relations are coming down with it in every direction.
Mm.
You would be looking for any miracle you could find. You'd be clutching hold of any possibility that you could think of.
Yep, I hear that. Right on, Peter. Always a pleasure, mate. We will
nice
catch you for That's the Spirit next Monday.
Excellent. Cheers. See you.